change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host for today, Mickey Desai. Very happy to be talking with Pat, the King of Sting Duffy. Pat is the co-founder of The Giving Block. Pat, how are you doing?
Mickey, I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me out today.
I'm glad we could do this. That's just hilarious. What is The Giving Block?
Yeah, we can start right there. The Giving Block, plain and simple, we're an organization that helps charities take crypto donations.
Okay.
And then we help them fundraise it. So we're kind of one of the few nonprofit services companies that's focused on both sides of the equation. We're really focused on not just giving you the tools to get in front of donors or take their donations, but actively get in front of them as well. So we're kind of a mix, kind of between a DAF and a payment processor.
So I imagine that crypto scares the hell out of most nonprofits. Or do you not find that to be the case?
Yeah, it wasn't 3 years ago the best business model, for sure, to try to sell the most scary and innovative technology to the most conservative technological demographic.
Yep.
But it's come a long way. It's getting to the point where I think the vast majority of charities have at least looked into it recently, especially as Bitcoin runs up to a price of $50,000 per unit. But generally speaking, it's not a whole lot of education at this point. It's come a long way.
So you're finding that most of the people you're talking to know a little something about cryptocurrency already?
Yeah, and enough to be dangerous for sure. I think it's very similar to stocks or taking credit cards or the US dollar. I don't think you need to know a whole lot to take donations from people who use a particular form of money.
Well, and I fall into that category. Just I know enough to be dangerous, but there are, if I'm not mistaken, many flavors of cryptocurrency, many names associated with different kinds of currency. Is that not true, or is that
for sure?
Yeah,
it's currency is a bit of a misnomer, which throws people for a loop. It's kind of the worst place to start is with a name that doesn't necessarily apply. But cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, for instance, are kind of a test case for. It actually becoming currency one day where the price doesn't fluctuate. So cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin for the time being are much more like stocks or gold. They're an investment module. They're a store of value. They're a hedge against inflation. And then we're heading into this era where there's going to be all of those wonderful technologies like blockchain behind cryptocurrency, where you can move it really fast. It's international. You can't print it out of thin air. The security protocols, you can't change transaction records, all the good stuff. But they'll peg it to something like the price of the US dollar and people will be able to, buy a cup of coffee.
Interesting. All right. So let's pretend for a minute that I'm a nonprofit that's just getting my feet wet in this field. How do I start that conversation with you guys? Because I'm used to, I'm going to pretend I'm a standard nonprofit. My fundraising portfolio has everything to do with individual calls to donors who give me, money, currency, stock. Maybe, stuff like that. Crypto is completely foreign to me. So how does that conversation start with me coming to you saying we want to add this as an element of our donor portfolio?
Yeah. First and foremost, it's a lot less complicated than charities think. Okay. The way that you want to start is go to thegivingblock.com and book a demo or, shoot an email info@thegivingblock.com and ask whatever questions you have. Just get in touch and start a conversation.
Yep.
You'll find that it's a lot easier than people think it is. I'd say the best way to start it internally, if you're keen on it and the rest of the folks are not, I would start with talking about the size of the ecosystem. There's 100 million users. It's more than Cash App and Google Pay. And you can go through all the other stuff that I'm sure your charity would be willing to take because it feels a little more established. Crypto has been around for 10 years and there's 100 million people using it. It's a big deal and it has arrived. Okay. And then the second piece is it's not scary or complicated. You know about as much about crypto as you do about the US financial system or how the stock market actually works. You're just kind of used to seeing it around. We always talk about like Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, a microwave, a combustion engine. It's like how much, if you're not an actual engineer, do you really know the nuts and bolts of? And if not, you might as well just skate past that and think about the functionality and how it can make your life better.
Right. Well, and let's back up for a second then and just, do crypto 101 real quick. Mm-hmm. What is a cryptocurrency? Is it just a bunch of electrons? Is it, what are we talking about?
Yeah, not electrons, but it's a lot less complicated than people think. Mm-hmm. You can think about like an MP3 file back in the day where it was being torrented. You can make a million copies. There was really no way to trace it back to the original file. Once you make a copy of an MP3 file, they're more or less identical. You don't know what an original is. Mm-hmm. So like digital artwork or digital currencies, there was something called a double spend problem. So they didn't really exist. You would have instead ledgers at banks or financial institutions where they'd be manually updating it. And then eventually with code, updating those ledgers. But you could get into the systems and you could change the record. Bitcoin kind of solved those two things. So one, it created a digital currency that didn't need the US dollar institution to print it necessarily to make it legit. It used a technology called blockchain, which meant that you could transact it with people online and know that no one could manufacture fakes. So that was a cool part. And then the second piece of the blockchain aspect, what makes it cool, is you can't alter transaction records. So you would have to literally take over 51% of the global computing power that's mining Bitcoin to alter one transaction record. And then, you know, you compare that to the billions of dollars in laundered money and criminal activity in traditional finance. It's a much more transparent and safe alternative when we think about how money should work.
Right. Interesting. So that's one of the benefits to get into cryptocurrency in the first place is that it sounds safer.
Yeah, it's a giant misconception. So in the early days, there was something called the Silk Road. People were buying and selling drugs online.
Yeah.
They used Bitcoin to do that just because the government didn't know about Bitcoin. So it seems like a really smart form of money to use, money that no one's paying attention to.
Right.
And then what happened is the governments of the world started paying attention. And funny thing about Bitcoin is when you have a blockchain ledger that tracks every transaction record and is completely unalterable, yep. Once you find one of those wallets, it's not like finding someone's money. It's like finding their books. So
yeah.
Criminals are significantly less inclined to use crypto. It still does happen. There are dummies out there that think it's a smart way to get away with crimes. But the DEA, the FBI, and most law enforcement agencies, they're on the record. And they say, we would much prefer that you use crypto. It's a lot easier to track.
Right. So, all right. So a nonprofit then decides that they want to do this. They want to add cryptocurrencies to the things they may ask for when trying to do fundraising. Why would they want to do that? You know, are there incentives for the nonprofit? Are there further incentives for the donors? Tell me about that.
Yeah, gigantic incentive for the donors. So very similar to stocks. The only difference between crypto and stocks is it's a lot easier to transfer and people actively trade it. So if people treated stocks the way that crypto users treat crypto, they were actively moving into and out of positions and they could move it to a charity very easily. Okay. Stocks would be a dominant force in charitable giving in a way that they're not currently. That's going to happen with stocks now with Robin and everything else, but it's kind of ironic it happened with crypto first. The tax incentive is pretty point blank. If I want to give $1 million to a charity, any major donor out there that you have, if they have cryptocurrency, say you don't take it. If I give you $1 million that I have in my bank account, I get the write-off, right?
Yeah.
But when I sell that $1 million Bitcoin that I'm sitting on, I'm going to owe the IRS, let's say, somewhere between $100,000 and $200,000 in capital gains tax. Alternatively, if you are a charity that takes crypto, you now offer me the additional incentive of I can give you that $1 million in Bitcoin, use the $1 million I have in the bank to repurchase Bitcoin at the new cost basis. I now have tax-free crypto that I owe no taxes on. I gave the full $1 million to the charity. In addition to my write-off, I just erased that $150,000, let's say, in capital gains tax. So the short answer is if you're one of the tens of millions of people who have crypto, you are significantly more incentivized to donate using crypto than US dollars. Now it's just a matter of how quickly do charities start taking it. And as the donors start getting keen on it, who's going to be at the front of that line? That's kind of the bet that we're making.
Fascinating. Totally fascinating. How then does a nonprofit get in front of people who use crypto?
It's a great question. So it is not a scalable business model for us. We're figuring it out as we go, but we are one of the few companies that in addition to setting up a charity to take crypto, setting it up to automatically convert to cash if they want that, automatically generate tax receipts for the donors, everything down the line, integrating it to your site. We run fundraisers, one. So we created a community campaign for Giving Tuesday called Bitcoin Tuesday, where all the charities that take crypto actively fundraise. We create marketing kits, hashtags, we bring in corporate partners, they put up match dollars. You know, we run stories, we work with the press.
Yeah,
we go on social media with a game plan. We bring donations in. And then the second thing we do is we have a fundraising platform. So when people go online and they're like, hey, what charities can I donate Bitcoin to or any other cryptocurrency? We aggregate all of our charities. We help them create content. We drive those donors in so that anyone who's going out there to give can give to the charities. And then the last piece is kind of the DAF type model. Integrations. We are partnered with a lot of the major companies that allow you to check crypto prices, manage a portfolio, buy and sell crypto. And we're plugging endpoints into each of those via integrations that will allow their users right from their apps and their websites to make a donation to our charity specifically. So we got a lot of bases covered.
You know, so, okay. So how then do I turn a crypto user into a crypto donor? Is that something that happens only through you guys, or is there another way for me to do it?
It's a great question. So one big misconception is like, how do we talk to our audience about crypto and, you know, get them to use it? This is not a means of like getting your existing donors to switch over to crypto or get them using a different payment method. So that part is easy. It's check for. If you have people in your audience that have crypto, you just want to give them this method because it's better for their bottom line. They'll probably give a bigger gift and they'll save money anyway. Right. It's pretty cool. In terms of getting in front of people that are not in your audience and getting them to give, the main thing you do is you just tell them about your mission like you would normally. And then when you ask them to make a donation, just make sure that you occasionally integrate some of the tax language because not every donor is aware of it as well. So you get in front of crypto users, hey, make your, you know, capital gains offset, tax donation, whatever it might be, have that on your donation page and mix it in with, hey, here's what we do.
So it sounds pretty straightforward. It's just like asking for anything else, but just making sure that the people know that you have the crypto option available if they want to do that and maybe tell them why they would want to do that.
100%. So we whenever we do an education deck, we always put up this slide where it shows a Save the Children tweet. Is one of our earlier nonprofits. And it just shows, you know, children that they're helping, a mission statement, a thumbnail, a link. Here's what we're fundraising for. Here's our program.
Yep.
And then it goes, and by the way, you can donate crypto here. And like, that's what it looks like to fundraise crypto. It's just another hook for a new audience demographic you otherwise don't have access to.
Easy peasy. So how hard is it for me to get set up to accept crypto then? I mean, is it just a matter of buying new software? Do I have to set up my bank account a little differently? What do I need to do as a nonprofit?
It's self-serving, of course, but we strongly recommend you work with us specifically because there's kind of two other options. You could either try to set up your own thing, which we say is like building a Wi-Fi router. It's like Verizon exists. I would still, you know, you can look at Verizon or Comcast or whatever else it might be, but like pick one that already made it. Usually doesn't make sense. And then the, so some charities do that. They just like open a Bitcoin wallet and they start taking it. And it's like in the name of Craig in accounting. And then they have a giant auditing issue. So from a compliance standpoint and ease of use, I can get into that. But like the main reason people use us versus like there are PayPals out there for crypto equivalent, kind of like a, almost like a Shopify for crypto, is they're not designed for nonprofits. So they don't have a team that can answer nonprofit questions. They can't answer donor questions. They don't generate tax receipts for donors. They don't generate nonprofit CRM-friendly CSV reports with donor data. They don't fundraise. They don't have a platform that aggregates nonprofits and funnels donors in. They're not plugging into the ecosystem, et cetera.
This is all the stuff that you do.
Yeah, we're the first company to design crypto payment products for nonprofits. But to actually answer your specific question, how do you get set up? It's just like setting up a financial account. So the hardest part is opening the account. And by hardest part, I mean you have an application that probably takes you an hour and a half, which is a bit of a pain in the butt, but that's just regulation. Go set up an account with Fidelity. It looks very much the same. After that, all of our tech layers on and we build your widget, which you copy and paste on your site. We do that same day. So I'd say allocate a couple weeks just because you're going to be doing other things while you fill out your app and get approved. But once you're approved, you just pop it on your site and you're good to go.
A couple weeks lead time to get crypto set up on my own nonprofit's website is not a bad thing. I think that at least makes sure that there's plenty of room to do the planning and have it all well thought out in advance. I think that makes a ton of sense. What do we do about Craig in accounting? And is accounting where most of the mistakes tend to occur, or does integrating crypto into my fundraising portfolio, where are the pitfalls? Let me just ask that.
Yeah. On the accounting side, the accounting is actually easy. When I said Craig in accounting, I mean, Craig in the accounting department likes Bitcoin. Sure. So he opens up his own account, let's say with Gemini, with the exchange we use in the back end. Let's say instead of going through us and setting up a nonprofit Gemini account, you just go set up an account on Gemini. Right. Craig opens that up in his name. You start taking donations, you get $1 million gift, you get audited. And they're like, it's clearly not an institutional account associated with a 501c3. There are compliance issues. Have you been accounting for it? If you set up with us, all that stuff is solved for, and the accounting is really point blank and simple. You download the report off of the exchange and it has every bit of transaction info. I would say the biggest pitfalls are people who get set up to take crypto and then they don't fundraise crypto. So we strongly recommend not accepting cryptocurrency, but fundraising crypto. We emphasize it on our site and in our programming. It's really easy to add it into everything, and you want to make it easy to give. Like, make a donate crypto page that's separate in your other ways to give, add it to your donation page, or at least a link to your other ways to give. Make sure that when you're doing an awareness campaign, you sprinkle in some messages about the fact that you take crypto. When you're doing end of year, make sure that in your newsletter, you're emphasizing the fact that you take crypto. There's probably a lot of people in your audience, especially if you're a larger mid-sized nonprofit, who have crypto, and they might be giving you $50 a month, and you just told them about that tax incentive, and now they have a very good reason to up the size of their gift potentially dramatically.
So it's a matter of not just the technical side of being able to accept the currency, it's the communicative side to, you still have to play a role in educating your donors that they have options.
Yeah, depending on the size. For a smaller charity, you probably don't have a whole lot of folks following you. That's where it's important to fundraise crypto, just because it sets you apart and it's fun. Like, you can get a lot of people to start paying attention to you just because you're talking about the fact that you take crypto. It's still pretty cool. Yeah. Despite the fact that a bunch of charities are doing it, it's neat enough to drive attention. And then if you're mid-sized to large-sized, the reason you do it is exactly like you said. You've got a lot of people in your audience who probably have it. And if you teach them about that tax incentive, they're probably going to give you a much larger gift.
Can you share some stories, like case studies? Who have you worked with? What are some of the success stories you've seen? And maybe what are some of the mistakes you've seen other people make?
Yeah. So in terms of success stories, the whole platform, thankfully, to date has been a success. It's been very hands-on and unscalable, but we're starting to kind of refocus around integrations, some other stuff to drive more donation volume. But last year, for instance, the average raise per charity was $30,000 a group, which is great because we have a lot of small and mid-sized charities too. We have a handful that, you know, get half their annual budget in crypto. Donations. Yeah, it's awesome. So it can be transformative. For the larger donations, the biggest one we've ever received is $1.2 million US dollars worth of Bitcoin, which was a great gift, of course, but we get... you know, probably this year, you know, 100 or more gifts that might be in like the six figure range that come through. A lot of them are random. You know, just someone shows up to the site, they want to do the tax offset, and they take $150,000 and they sprinkle it across 19 groups. We have that happen sometimes where they just pick a little bit of everything, treat it almost like a DAF. And then in terms of something with a little bit more of an identity, it would be like the Barstool Fund, I would say. It's a recent one. Pomp. Yep. Is like a big brand, a big guy in crypto. And Dave Portnoy is out of the Barstool Fund, the head of Barstool in general. They came together and they fundraised crypto. They raised like $500,000 in a matter of weeks, getting set up with us, and we pumped it out.
Okay. I have to ask, just because I'm that guy, what's in it for you guys?
What's in it for us is we think this is where charity is heading. So we think hypothetically... of course, like there's ego and everything else tied up in this, and we'll see where the world heads, that the way you donate will be the first thought that donors have, and then who they donate to will become secondary. I think the only reason people donate using credit cards is because, no one's made it easy to give them stocks and crypto and property assets. The tax incentive is so dramatically better that if you had a payment interface that made it really easy to give you property assets to a charity instead of a credit card, and you could see that that's clearly a better tax incentive for you, they would obviously opt for that over the credit card. So our play is more or less that we could, you know, become the main or a major kind of payments company in the nonprofit space and start making that property asset focus, taking some of the land away from credit cards.
Which is brilliant. I think, you know, I wish you guys a ton of success in doing that. Just parting shots, because we're almost out of time here.
Sure.
What's one or two things that you would want nonprofits to know before they call you?
It's a really good question. You don't need to know a lot. It would be more so something that even outside of working with us would be a mindset that would be helpful for when you come to us, but also with everything you do. Mm-hmm. Like, please, for the love of God, focus on internal approval processes.
Yeah.
I think a lot of groups... we'll focus on one idea at a time and they keep getting stuck. Like, I'm shocked. Occasionally we get a charity that takes like a year to make a decision on whether or not to take crypto. Like, you're not going to survive that way. If you do that with social media platforms, opening accounts, like, you're going to start getting a new one at least every year. And that timeline is going to shrink. With payments, it's going to adapt very quickly. There's going to be new cryptocurrencies, new assets people use. A lot of money will get made overnight, and there's going to be a $500 billion asset class, and they're going to look for places to donate it. And if you don't take it, you're out. Just with everything, just focus on getting more agile. And then the second thing would be, make it easy for people to give you money. All we do is crypto. right now. So this doesn't necessarily benefit us. But like, if you're not looking at the payment apps that millennials and Gen Zs use on their phones, or taking stocks and other property assets, or whatever it might be, if your donation page is hard to find or it doesn't route back to other ways to give, if it's hard for me to give you money, you're going to get a lot less money. Maybe take a little bit of time away from focusing on your marketing and focus on the actual Rails.
That's brilliant. I think you've encapsulated it very well. And just to say that, make it easy for me to give you money. I like the way that sounds.
I appreciate it, Nikki.
This is good stuff. You know, and maybe this is material for another episode, but now I want to know how a guy like me gets into crypto. I'm sure that there's a primer out there as a potential donor. How do I make my own wallet? How do I start acquiring currency?
Yeah. The big thing with cryptocurrency is, please, for the love of God, don't start with like trading.
right.
Just read about it and really treat it as, again, like anything, like money that you could lose. And then like the main thing to do is, you can look at the Bitcoin white paper if you really want to go deep. And if not, I would just Google kind of how Bitcoin works. And I would Google it as like a gold alternative or hedge against inflation. There's a lot of pieces out there. There's people like Saylor or, you know, Elon Musk moving money into crypto. I would look at some of those stories and just listen to why people are moving some of their assets into crypto.
Okay.
View it more as that, like a hedge against inflation, than as an opportunity to day trade and make a bunch of money. If you ever get there, then of course, just do a lot of research.
Yeah, no, a ton of research for sure. Pat, if a listener wanted to be in touch with you, maybe learn some more about the Giving Block, how would you suggest they go about doing that?
Yeah. Again, please, thegivingblock.com. You can book a demo from the contact option. And then there's info at thegivingblock.com. If you want to shoot us an email directly with any questions, please do. Yeah. You can find me at this is Pat Duffy on Twitter. You can find me on LinkedIn. And then at thegivingblock across all social platforms is a good way to get in touch with the company.
I'm looking at the website right now. It looks fairly straightforward, very clean. And I encourage everyone to take a look at it and learn more about adding this as an option to their fundraising, to their fundraising portfolio. I think that this is something that nonprofits definitely need to be doing. So well done, Pat. Thanks for taking the time to do this episode with me today.
Yeah, 100%. And we obviously have Alex Wilson is my co-founder,
okay.
Michael Early, Masha. We've got a team full of developers, Vitaly, Alexi, Andre. So we have them to thank for the product and everything. So I'd be remiss to say that, but thank you so much for having me on.
We could do it. Hope we can do another one in the future sometime.
That'd be awesome. Appreciate it.
To our listeners, thank you as always for joining us. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating via whatever mechanism you use to listen to the Snapcast. Your 5-star ratings make us more findable by search engines, and we are grateful to you for helping us grow our audience. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.